Welcome to the Mana Church Stafford Podcast, where we're all about equipping God's people to change their world. We are thankful you are here and pray this message encourages you to love God, love others, and love the world more fervently than before. Now, let's get to it.
How you doing, Mana Church? Pastor Jake Johnson here. I am so glad you joined us this morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. What a great day. Today's a day of hope. It's a day of celebration, but it's also a day of worship and reflection. So I'm glad that you joined us and decided to tune in just to worship with your church family for a little bit. So if you were able to join us last night for our Christmas Eve service, you know that we talked about the Nativity, and that's just a fancy church word for the time during, leading up to, and right after Jesus' birth. And we discussed how glorious it was for Jesus to be born. In fact, it says this in Luke chapter 2 as it talks about the Nativity. Luke 2, verse 8. It says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in a field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." How awesome would that be to have the glory of the Lord shining all around you? "And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" Today is a day of good news and great joy for people everywhere. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This was a powerful moment. The Creator had chosen to come and dwell among men. It was a one-time thing. So it was perfectly arranged in the narrative of history at just the right time, just the right place to achieve the purposes of God in the earth. So let's take a minute and let's read a little bit more about this story, starting in verse 15. It says, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And so they went with haste." And so they hurried, they went there quickly, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So this moment of Jesus' birth, God brings the heralds to tell the shepherds about it. The shepherds go, they get to see where Jesus was born and celebrate there. Like, he had a whole birth party, Jesus' first birthday party. God made sure he didn't miss it. And so this word spread all over. It was newsworthy. And, you know, their communication channels weren't the same as ours were, so things didn't go viral quite the same way. But news did get passed along, which I'm going to share here shortly. And so the important thing to remember here is that God is using this event to bring glory to his name. That's what he's supposed to do through us. That's what he wants for each of us. But he's using this event specifically to bring glory to his name throughout the earth. And you can listen to the message from last night to get a better understanding of the scope of that. So the improbability of this event, though, it can't be overlooked. It can't be overemphasized. So, you know, our medical system does a really good job of predicting when things are going to happen, like when somebody's going to go into labor, if it's going to be a boy or a girl. But God predicted so many of the things that had to happen for Jesus to be born. When, where he was born, how he was going to be born. It would be a virgin birth. There are some predictions that God made that are a little bit less talked about that I want to bring to light today. So this is more of just a time for me to teach on a couple things. So not a super, you know, heavy message about go out and change the world. I really just want you to understand some of the things that happened surrounding Jesus' birth that maybe you don't really think about much. Because Jesus coming to earth was a joyful event, but it actually wasn't met with joy by everyone. There were some people who were not excited about the birth of Jesus. In fact, it was met by very strong opposition for some people. So Matthew 2 talks about this. So at the beginning of the Gospels, we typically have a narrative of the Nativity. And so in we read Luke, and now we're going to read Matthew, and it's a little bit different what Matthew emphasizes. He says this. He says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. So King Herod, Herod was an Edomite. If you remember our last series, we talked about the difference between Jacob and Esau. So Esau was the father of all the Edomites, and Herod was himself an Edomite. So we talked about how Jacob's descendants and Esau's descendants would be at odds with one another, and Herod is a great example of that. We see it fulfilled. He was actually a really extremely harsh man. He was terrible to even his family. In fact, Caesar Augustus said this about Herod. He said, I would rather be one of Herod's pigs than one of his family, because he just did terrible things to the people that were in his family. And so we see what happens here in the verse. It says, after he was born in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? So Herod's the king, but these people are saying, where is the born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. So it's important to note that Jesus' birth wasn't this localized event. It was something that impacted the worlds, and even the heavens proclaimed the glory of Jesus' birth. So verse 3 says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So again, this went viral. The whole city finds out about Jesus' birth, and they find out that there's even a star in heaven that is celebrating the birth of the king of the Jews. And so he assembled all the chief priests and the scribes, and he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So he started to study to see, did God predict this? And if he did, where is it supposed to happen? And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly. So he brought these guys back and got them to come into an audience with him, you know, under the radar though. He didn't want everybody to know this. So they had to be pretty prominent figures to get an audience with the king. And he ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. This is really important because this tells us about how old Jesus was when they came, because the star appeared to mark Jesus' birth. So, and he sent them to Bethlehem. This is Herod. He sends these wise men now to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Now we know that he was saying this in deceit. He didn't intend on worshiping Jesus. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The revelation of Jesus, King of the Jews, King of the world, it was an occasion for joy, even for these strangers, and it should be an occasion for joy for you and I today as we celebrate his birth. Going into the house, so he's not in the stable, he's not in a manger anymore. Going into the house, they see the child. So this is important because this word here actually means little boy. It doesn't mean babe. So it doesn't mean infant in the same way that the shepherds went and saw the babe lying in a manger. The word used here actually means child. So Jesus has grown a little bit. He's not an infant anymore. So can you imagine this? Going into the house and seeing this toddler, and it says, with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. So these prominent, famous figures, they were just with the king, King Herod, and they came, they see Jesus, and they worship a toddler, the king of the universe. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So God was operating in this situation in so many ways. He provided prophetic direction hundreds of years prior to his people to let them know where it would happen. He let the locals know when it did happen, the shepherds. He let wise men know to travel. And he's now telling people to safely move away, because look what it says. Now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. So you may be wondering, when you say until the death of Herod, wasn't Herod a guy who was in power when Jesus was crucified? Yes, but that was a different Herod. That was an ancestor of this Herod. So all this happened, Again, in verse 15, it says, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been ascertained from the wise men. So Herod found out the timeline from the wise men. So this is a really important thing that we probably don't think about a lot during Christmas. The wise men come to see Herod. They say, we saw a star rise in the east. They tell him, look, it was about, 18 months, 2 years ago. So we don't know how long between when the wise men departed from Herod to when they saw Jesus to when Herod actually realized that he'd been duped. And so this is why a lot of Bible scholars believe that Jesus was around 18 months to 2 years old when this all happened, because Herod, when he found out that he was duped, had all the boys killed who were around 2 years old. And so this is a really tragic event that happens at the birth of Jesus. And if you think about it, this is something that, imagine if in a city we had all the children, all the male children under a certain age who just weren't anymore. That would be a massive cultural event. And in fact, there are estimates for this massacre that happened that are as many as 140,000 boys, and there are some as low as 12. And so we don't know for sure. We know it was at least Bethlehem and its vicinity. So its vicinity maybe is a half a mile. Maybe it was 5 miles. Jerusalem was only 5 miles away. So if it was Jerusalem as well, it could have been a large number of children. And so it was a terrible thing. But again, this even was prophesied by God that this terrible thing would happen. Because reading in Matthew then further quotes Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:15 says this, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So this was even prophesied before the birth of Christ. And I just want to think about this for a second as we're reflecting on Jesus, as we're reflecting on his birth. Jesus was born in the midst of a dramatic cultural event. He actually caused the cultural event by being born. It ignited Herod's jealousy, and so Herod then harmed all kinds of children as he was trying to get at Jesus. And so, if we think about in our current society, when a massive cultural event happens, it changes the way that people process things. Like, for instance, COVID. So we're probably sick of talking about COVID because, we all just want to put it behind us. But the youth in our country, the children in our country who experienced that, it changed the way they went to school. It changed the way that they interacted with people. There's going to be a shift in the way that they look at the world versus how other people look at the world who are born after that because of what they went through. And so Jesus, for him and his counterparts, if you really think about it, Jesus was the only person from his city who was that age. So all the kids that he would have went to school with, all the kids that he would have hung out with, all of his peers that he would have been spending time with, they would be gone. It would only be him. And he would stand out among all the people around them. It reminds me actually of a similar story we have in the Old Testament about Moses. Moses was unique in that the Israelites were growing too big for Pharaoh to manage them. And so Pharaoh did the same thing that Herod did. He was afraid of the power that the Jews might have. And so he had all the children, if they were boys especially, killed. And Moses was one of the ones that survived. So you have Moses and his generation rising up as a leader to give the law to his people and to help bring them out of oppression. And here, thousands of years later, we have Jesus, the King of the earth, coming in the same sort of a really dramatic cultural event, coming to also bring his people into freedom and to bring you and I into freedom, unique in their generation. So this is what happened. After all the evil that Herod perpetrated on the people, here's what I think is amazing about this. All the bad things that Herod did, and this is what I want us to just meditate on, because I know this can seem like, wow, this is kind of a downer for what happened right after Jesus' birth. But no, it is good news, because God even used the evil that Herod perpetrated to bring about good things for his kingdom. And so if you and I have experienced bad things, we can look and see the things that happen here and realize that God's purposes are still going to be accomplished in us. They're still going to be accomplished through us no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances are. Matthew 2, 19 through 23, it says this, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, saying, 'Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned in a dream, he went and withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." So again, as we close here this morning, just a short message for you guys to just reflect on this day. God did some really powerful things. Herod did something evil, but God knew that that was going to happen. And he let his people know in Jeremiah that that was going to happen. In fact, he even used it to bring about his purposes, to fulfill the fact that Jesus would come out of Egypt. So because Herod did this evil thing, God knew it was going to happen. He sent Joseph and Mary and Jesus away so they could come out of Egypt and fulfill the prophecy. Just another marker that he was who he said he was. And then when Jesus came back, Herod's evil son was in charge, and God used that as well to fulfill another one of his prophetic words, that Jesus would move to Nazareth and Jesus would come out of Nazareth. So all the things that are happening, they all point to God being in charge. God is in control. God is on the throne. He's firmly seated on the throne. There's nothing that you can do to take control out of his hands. You can't wrench it from him, and evil King Herod can't wrench it from him. And God's going to do what he pleases when he pleases. And so I just hope that that would encourage you, that no matter what it is you're facing, no matter what it is that maybe your family's going through during this Christmas season, God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for his people. He has a purpose for us as Manna Church, and he's going to see it happen. There's so many great stories about the good that God brings out of difficulty. And I know for Jesus probably in this time, and for Jesus' family in this time, I doubt if they could see the outcome. They probably weren't thinking about the prophecies when the angel came to them in a dream and told them to move to Egypt. They were just thinking about surviving. And they probably weren't thinking about the prophecy in Jeremiah when they saw what was happening to all the other families. And they probably weren't thinking about the prophecy when they moved back and then they had to go and move to Nazareth. They probably weren't thinking about that. And for us, we can get so engrossed in the circumstances that we're facing that we forget that we serve a good, loving, faithful, true God who will bring about his purposes for us. Romans 8, 28 says this, "For we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose." And so church, I would just tell you today, what you need to focus on more than your circumstances is just have a big love for Jesus. Have a big love for him. Follow the calling that he's put in your life, that he's put on your heart, and he will work any circumstance that you're in together for the good. Even in the nativity, Jesus coming was a message of hope. And so I hope today that you sense that hope, that you can feel that over your life. May you have a blessed day. May you enjoy this day. Celebrate what it is that God has done in the earth by sending us his son to live a perfect life, to die as a perfect sacrifice for each of us so that we can continue to be in relationship with him. I love you guys. I can't wait to see you again at the new year. So come on out and join us. We're not going to have service next week live. We're going to have another online service. So I hope that you tune in. It will premiere on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. just like we have normal service. It's called Service in Your PJs. So wake up, stay in your pajamas, have some coffee and some breakfast with the kids in front of the TV, and enjoy a worship experience. And then we hope to see you in person on January the 8th. God bless you guys. We love you. Hope to see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Manna Church Stafford podcast. If you would like to connect with us, you can find us on the web at mannastafford.church or download the Manna Church app. To listen to our new episodes as they become available, make sure to subscribe to our podcast. We would also love to meet you in person. If you are local, our services take place each Sunday at 10 a.m. We pray you have a blessed week, and we will see you next time.